mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Home base is Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer to that is no. You may take a step or two along the road, but if you don't agree with each other, it won't be long till there be a separation. And here's the situation. God is not going to agree with you. So somebody else must do the agreeing. We do more arguing than we do agreeing. God help us. For if there's anything the child of God ought to be, it ought to be obedience. And oftentimes we're arguing rather than being obedient. We have dealt thus far with several thoughts. First of all, I said to you, no man can walk with God except he realize he's ruined and come to the Lord Jesus. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Folks, listen, you can't save yourself. You just can't do it. Religion can't help you. Religion will put you in hell quicker than anything. Only God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, can bring you salvation. We dealt with this thought of regeneration. If we're ruined, then we have to be regenerated and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. In regeneration, God gets you ready to save you. Remember, He opens your ears, He opens your eyes, He opens your heart, and you begin to hear and see and feel things you never felt before. Though it'd been there all the time, you never saw it, you never heard it, you never felt it. But now, because God has regenerated you, you begin to understand some spiritual things. Then we dealt with repentance on three or four occasions. Tonight I want to come to this thought. We can only walk with God when we have been redeemed. Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. Yes, sir. Redemption is a marvelous thing. The Word of God uses it several times, both in the Old and the New Testament. The first time we find it is in Exodus chapter number 6. And here God says, actually He says three things in this text. It's in chapter 6, verse number 6 of the book of Exodus. I want you to watch this, how it unfolds. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I'm the Lord, and I will, watch this now, bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians.
While he's doing that, has anybody been redeemed?
Amen. Yes.
You know what it is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? I say redemption is marvelous. Tell you some things God helped.
Thank you, sir. You're such a nice guy. But you didn't turn it on. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. We're in Exodus chapter 6, verse number 6 again. Three things I want you to note in this text. He said, I'll bring you out from the burden of the Egyptians. Then he said, I'll take you from the bondage. Then he said, I'm going to do it with an outstretched arm. Now think with me for just a moment and look at those three phrases that our Lord says for Israel to hear. I'm going to bring you out from the bondage of the Egyptians. Now, Egypt is a type of what? The world. Think with you where you're concerned tonight. When God found you, you were in bondage. In bondage to the world. We speak much of freedom in America, and we better be talking about a whole lot more because we're losing them every day. But nonetheless, we talk about being free in America. But you're not free if you're still under the bondage of this world. You'll never be free until you're delivered from the bondage of Egypt. Until the strings, the bondage has been taken away and you're truly free from the world. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the world is what? The love of the world is an enemy to God, the enmity with God, enemy to God. And our love for the world oftentimes far outstretches. My brother mentioned it just a moment ago. If we love the world more so than we love God, then our offerings are going to dwindle and the world is going to get more of it. Amen. This old world is not your friend. If you'll study John chapter number 17, you'll find that our Lord said, I pray not for the world, but those that thou hast given me out of the world. Yes. Did you get the picture? And I hear people praying for the world all the time. If I ever do that, come up and slap me right hard because I'm not thinking right. Amen. Don't pray for the world. No, no, no. Spend your time praying for those that God saved out of this world. Amen. Pray for them in their bondage of the world itself. Because no matter how saved you are, there's still some bondage in your heart to this world. Amen. Still some ties, still some strings out there. This word redemption is a marvelous, marvelous word. In reality, the word is lotros, lotros actually. And it simply means to be cut loose. Are to have the price paid. The price that's demanded for you, as a matter of fact. We don't know much about this in our day and time because we don't see it often. But there was a time in America where redemption was on the streets nearly every day. When men were sold.
Yes.
Bought and sold.
Yes.
On the streets of America.
Yes.
There's a story about an old colored fellow. I don't know what you call them now. For crying out loud, you call them one thing and they get angry with you. Anyway, one that was a bit darker than we. And his mother had prayed for him for so long. And he came to the auction block. And it just so happened that there was a kindly gentleman passing by. And he saw the young man on the auction block. And as the auction progressed, he just listened and watched. And then finally, when the auctioneer said, going once, he cried out a number higher than the last.
Yes.
And after he had won the prize, he walked up to the young man with a piece of paper in his hand. The young man expecting, of course, to be his slave for the rest of his life. He said, son, here's your freedom.
Amen.
And he placed that paper in his hand.
Yes.
That man, young man was free for the rest of his life.
Yes, sir.
Now hear me tonight. There is a God in heaven.
Amen.
Who sent his darling son into this world to redeem those whom God had given him.
Yes.
And every last one of us God will redeem.
Yes.
Every last one of us, our Lord Jesus Christ will walk up and hand us spiritually that freedom, that deliverance that only He can give.
Yes.
Free from this old world. Free from the bondage, if you will, of Egypt. Now the next thing He says, I'll rid you out of the burden. I'm going to get rid of the burden that you have. Now, burdens aren't necessarily bondages, but they're things that bother us from time to time. Things that keep us from being able to carry on as we would otherwise. So the Lord said, I'm going to get you out of Egypt, and I'm going to take the burden of Egypt away from you. Now, what was their burden? If you recall, their burden was the bricks and the mortar and the whips. But God said, I'm going to take that away. It'll be there no more. Excuse me. Do you realize that when Israel got across the Red Sea, they never saw those Egyptians again? God said they wouldn't. And they never saw them again. God ridded them. Glory. Listen, it's a glorious day. It is a glorious day when God both delivers you from the Egypt itself and then the burden that Egypt placed upon you. Every one of us have the marks of the world on us. Do you agree with that? Every last one of us. Didn't make a difference who your mama was, how long they prayed. You still have some marks of the world upon you. But God's promised to take them away.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is freedom? What is redemption? It's being free from the world and having the burden of the world taken off our shoulders.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Now He said, I'm going to do it with an outstretched arm. God never does anything piecemeal. He always does it right. And when God stretched out His arm over Egypt, Egypt was literally destroyed in order to bring His people out. Now listen to me. God will go to great lengths to deliver His people. As a matter of fact, the same power that it took to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, it takes to bring you out of the world. The same power, the same arm that stretched out over Egypt stretches out to bring you into the household of faith. Well, it's a great thing to be redeemed. Not just to say, hey, I'm free. But to have your very soul and your spirit free. It's one thing to be free in the physical realm. It's another thing to be free in your soul and your spirit. When God frees your soul and your spirit, you're truly free. I like to think of it like this. When a bird begins to flip its wings and fly away, he's left the ground, right? And now he's free from the bondage of the earth and free to fly around as he will. Exercise, if you will, the spirit of freedom. An eagle is a marvelous picture of that as he soars through the sky with all the majesty of anything that's ever flown. That eagle flies through the sky, free from the bondage of the earth, free from the burden that's down there. He's been delivered by a mighty arm. You've been delivered by the same mighty arm. God stretches out His arm and delivers His people. He always will. He always will. I want to give you a couple of things tonight. We'll hurriedly do so and try to move on. I want you to notice in the book of Hebrews, and by the way, here the great picture of redemption comes alive. In chapter number 9 and chapter number 10, actually chapter 8 as well, in this marvelous book. Now, let me say to you first of all that the children of Israel knew what Paul was talking about. Most of us do not. And unless we study the Old Testament, we never will know. But you see, Israel was looking for the Lord to come, and they expected Him to be both priest and king. Now, they never did see either side. They were blinded, and they never did see Him either as king or as priest. They even mocked Him in His crucifixion and said, "If you're the king, then come down." But you see, they didn't see what you and I can see tonight. They didn't see what Paul laid out here for us to understand. Here in chapter number 8, he deals with Christ as the priest after the order of Melchizedek. Then in chapter number 9, that priestliness begins to carry on, and he shows the ability of the Lord Jesus to do what only He could do. Now I'm in chapter 9. I want you to look with me at verse number 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come. That's a good thought, isn't it? By a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands. That is to say, not this building. Not that that's around here, he's saying. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. Now the argument is this. In that Old Testament economy, that high priest had to visit the tabernacle and the temple daily. He would go into the holy place on a daily basis and into the most holy place yearly. So it had to be done over and over and over again. And when Paul says in this verse that he went in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption, you see, their redemption was only for a year at a time. Their sins were laid aside. They weren't really put away. They were not put gone as ours are. They were just laid by. And then every year, that sin would come back to their consciousness. Wouldn't you hate to live like that? Now, God was doing that for one purpose. He was showing them a picture of what was actually going to come to pass in the future. Now that has already happened where we're concerned. When Jesus went to the cross, He paid the price for our redemption. Went in once. Now I want to go on and read a little bit more, and then I'll pick this up again. For the blood, I'm in verse number 12 now. Neither by the blood of bulls and goats, now verse number 13. For by the blood of bulls and goats and the ash of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified through the purifying of the flesh. Now I want you to watch this. The flesh here. But look at this next verse with me. How much more shall the blood of Christ who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience.
Yes.
Underscore that word in your Bible. Now let's go back to what I told you a few moments ago. Remember, every year there is that remembrance brought again of their sin. Now when Jesus paid the price, he purchased eternal redemption, and that purified the conscience as well. Glory. Now we're talking about redemption in real sense here. We're talking about being relieved from Egypt, both the bondage and the burden.
Yes.
Because now you see, it is eternal. And it's only happened once. It doesn't have to happen every year. But one time, for time and eternity. And this redemption cleans our consciousness. You say, but I still remember my old sins. Well, let me assure you that you are not concentrating on the blood that saved you from your sin. The purpose of the ridding the consciousness of the sin is that it doesn't come back every year like it did in the Old Testament. But it's gone for eternity. You never have to worry about it again. It's an amazing thing that people who call themselves Christians still want to be under the bondage of the law. Listen, I'm free from the law. Jesus freed me from the law. Therefore, the burden of Egypt and the bondage of this old world cannot hold me. I need to say this, probably ought to wait a few minutes, but let me just say it right now. God's people do not have to sin. Did you hear that? You don't have to sin. You've been taught all your life that you have to sin. I mean, that was just the Baptist way. I mean, you have to sin because, you know. But you don't have to. You do so willingly. When God saves you, you are no longer in bondage. Hear me. You're no longer in bondage. The burden's gone. And the power of God to overcome sin is there. Therefore, you don't have to, but you do. And you do because you want to. Someone once came to me and said, Brother Larry, I just can't keep from doing thus and so. I said, do you know Jesus is your Savior? Oh, yeah. I said, well, what makes you think you can't keep from doing it? Well, I don't know. I just keep on doing it. I said, well, you do it because you want to. You do it because you decide to do it. You're going to do it. In spite of all God's done for you, you're still going to do it, right? Sure. Now, we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And all of us are failures in our own right. But we don't have to partake of the things of the world. Remember when God brought Israel out of Egypt? While they were in the wilderness, some of them wanted to go back. That's where you are. You're out of Egypt, but Egypt isn't out of your mind. That's why Jesus Christ died. Are you listening to me? To purge your conscience, to take that off your mind as well as off of your heart. To keep you from having that burden of the sin that's there. And I probably need about 10 good lessons on that, because some of you are still looking at me like I came in on a gut wagon or something. But you need to learn that you're free when Jesus saves you. You need to know that redemption is redemption. And when you're redeemed by the grace of God, your conscience is redeemed as well. Well, it's a marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing for your conscience to be clear of the sin of your past. Now, that doesn't mean you can't think up what you did back there. But listen to me. You don't have to worry about that. If it's under the blood, it's gone. In at least four places in your Bible, our Lord says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
That's a glorious thought, isn't it? So now why can't we dismiss it from our minds? We don't because we don't want to.
Amen.
But your conscience is clear when God saves you. The sin of the past is gone. The sin of the present is paid for. The sin of the future is paid for. But God didn't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. You don't know the God I know. No one's got to wake God up in the morning and say, hey, do you know what glare did? Oh, no. Absolutely not. Sure he knows, and sure it's paid for. Jesus only died once, right? Entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So, the matter's closed as far as God's concerned. Let's turn over a chapter. Chapter number 10 and verse number 10. Look at this with me. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. One time. Now let me explain this to you. If that were not so, remember the Old Testament priest. He entered in daily, offered sacrifices and offerings for sins, plural, for the people and himself. He entered in one time a year into the most holy place for his own sin, first of all, and then for the sins of his people, secondly. Jesus now enters in one time, not with the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers and so on, but with his own blood. Listen to me, his own blood. This is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God offered himself to God for our sins.
Amen.
And he does it once and for all. Once the price is paid, it never has to be paid again. Redemption is a marvelous work of God that does it once for all. How marvelous could that be more so? To know that when Jesus Christ died, my sin died with him. His blood covers my sins. Hard to understand, isn't it? But if you look back and see that Old Testament picture that's there and understand how that high priest daily did that, but now here comes God's high priest. Here comes the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God becomes the priest of his people. And he offers himself now. The high priest of days gone by didn't offer himself. He was offering animals. Now comes Jesus offering himself to the Father for our sins. Paid for.
Yes.
Eternal redemption. Once for all. It's settled.
That's done.
The whole picture now comes into view, and God's people are redeemed. It is such a marvelous thing to know that the price has been paid for you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how that young man felt when that stranger walked up to him and handed him that piece of paper and said, "This is your freedom." You can only imagine that if you know Jesus. If you remember the time that our Lord came where you were and spoke to your heart and made you a child of God and gave you freedom from sin. Conscience clear. Hands clear. Heart clear. Nothing now to hold you and bind you. You're free. Like the eagle on the wing, you're free. To exercise your liberty.
Yes, sir.
In the presence of God. Can I say to you, that is not a license to sin. That's a license to praise Him.
Amen.
And serve Him.
Yes, sir.
That's a license to let your wings carry you in the service and the praise of God. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child. And forever I am. My conscience are clear. I don't have to do it again. Jesus doesn't have to do it again. I don't have to come to the altar again to get saved. But it's imperative that I come in repentance time after time and keep the way clear between me and my Heavenly Father. Free from the bondage of the world, free from the burden of the world, free with an outstretched arm. The power of God that saved Egypt saves us. And just as He brought them out of Egypt, He brings us out of the world. Thank you, Lord, for redemption.